that second. The other thing is, I think that the mandate that we had, and correct me if I'm wrong, was to discuss the issue of proportional or proportionate representation. And that's what I think we should confine our discussion.
Right, and that's the document that we had. Right. So the document that I kind of initially posted up on Google Docs has gotten a fair number of comments and things. And I think it's a kind of basis for which to kind of start discussion and maybe end discussion around, right? That will kind of bound it to the mandate. So has everybody had a chance to read the document and everything and the comments?
I feel like one of those kids in a classroom that says, I don't understand how the hell you could use this forum. I just don't understand this. So when I have the need to say something, I revert to the standard email, hoping that everybody's seeing it, but I don't know. But this...
So what you can do is you can email all watchers of the document. So under share, right, when you go to Google Docs, under share, you can click email all editors, viewers. And so you can
communicate. I don't go to Google at all.
Well, but to see the document,
It's Google impaired.
No, so, I mean, one of the problems that I think we have is capturing the comments, right? I mean, email becomes a very tough medium when there's a lot of flying back and forth, especially when you're kind of sending documents around, right? The version of the document, which one, who has what. So I think that, I would make a plea for those who are able to, have access, are able to try to kind of pick it up, only because it facilitates things. It's I don't think it's a requirement, right? So if one is able to send email, one should be able to kind of do this. I mean, I'm just saying,
No, I don't feel like I was deprived or anything. If I really wanted to get involved, they could have learned that.
Right. So one thing going forward, and this is not on topic, but at some meeting at some point, if people feel that this is a benefit for the process, we should have a demo, at a meeting, just a demo, just to show how you would do it. But
could you, in the final product of all of this, could you or someone summarize where all of this has, what conclusions all of this has led up to?
Okay, yeah, why don't I start off with that, a summary, right?
That's all right. I need to plug in my computer.
Okay, so basically, the summary, the document was first posted by me, right? I certainly have a viewpoint, right? It was written with a certain viewpoint. But it was open, both the document and the folder was open for kind of comments and more documents. I don't think that there's any other documents.
Yours, not
Woodward.
On
yeah, Woodward had another document about this.
Okay.
But it was in a separate place.
Okay.
It's on the Google Docs on the website. It's included in this discussion.
Yeah, but he was...
And I sent it out to everybody.
Danny invited Doug to put it on...
Under a folder, right?
Under a folder.
He also has a folder. I put it in our folder.
Okay, so what we need to do is kind of send around the various folders. I mean, it'd be nice
and
to have...
And it's posted on the website that it's in the folder and how everybody can get to the folder.
Actually, this is actually an...
It's a link to the Google Docs.
This is actually an issue that Danny brought up right at the very beginning. He said, we don't want to have too many different documents going around different places, because then we have a problem of what is the version. And I think that's why you asked Doug to put his document in the same place where his document
was. Right.
And so it's all the same place.
You're not listening at all to me, and I still have a floor. That has to be resolved as to where all these things are, where they should be, and this should not be a decision that
somebody ought to propose.
I still have a floor, and I think we should respect all of that because we didn't last time. This is something that should not be decided by a number of individuals independently, but it's something that we have to decide where the documents are going to be from now on. for the governance committee.
And I'm happy to move the documents to wherever.
I don't care where they are. I just want to hear a summary.
Yeah, I have a question. What we're looking at when we open the Google Docs is Rob's proposal, the proposal that we see here, right? This document, and then there's, I think that's it.
I have a README
file, yeah. And I sent a link of the audio, so in case anybody wants to download that, just to enter that into this discussion. If anybody wants to hear outside of this group to catch up on what was said at the last one, plus the transcript. That's what the other thing that's loaded up into the same document is the transcript of what was said last time. So that all resides in one place. Am I clear? Right.
Yes, that's the goal. The goal is to kind of have it in one place so that you go one place and find out.
And then it's my understanding from Zella that there's another folder that is not what I'm talking about.
When I'm recognized.
Yes.
What resides on Danny's original, and to the best of my knowledge, the Google Docs that Danny set up first and originally is the discussion regarding the proportional representation. That is one proposal. After the full CWG meeting on the 1st of November, that meeting, a discussion about whether the other proposals should also be made available. The other proposals having to do with the governance side of things, whether there was a governance structure or not. And that was a slightly different set of proposals. I created on Google Docs a location for all of those proposals. I told Danny about it. I have 38 people on that, and I also, in addition to publicizing Danny's location, publicize this location. If Danny wants to add to his, I'm happy to relinquish the Google Docs location that I created. At the same time, no one is prevented from going to that location. It is totally open. It is on the website right at this moment. It is a comment form, brand new, on the website I created this weekend that appears on the home page that pops up a document and asks you your name and your email address. And if you would...
We decided that before you came in that we were going to discuss only the proportional thing and not the other governance.
That's fine, but the discussion has gone up to, are there separate locations for these things?
No, just only
this
proportional.
This is important for me to know.
That's all.
I think we're caught up.
We have a certain amount of time.
Yeah, so I think we're caught up. I think where we're at is that it's probably good to have two separate folders at this point now. One for the general government's documents that don't pertain to the proportional, and then one just specifically.
Right.
Is that okay? And that's what we have right now, right?
Okay. So, I think we're all caught up.
With the possible exception of on your documents, and I have visited today, so I could be wrong. The comments that Doug Woodward made, which apply to the proportional representation, I'm not clear that's sitting on your site. The last document that Rob sent, I took, and I could be wrong, and I'd be very happy to move it into a different folder. I took that to be a discussion of the governance side of the question rather than proportional representation, and if Rob would prefer to have that in both locations, that's also fine with me. I did notify Rob that was the location I was putting it in, and I didn't get any response here.
At the last meeting, we asked Danny, the group asked Danny and agreed that Danny would put up a Google Doc for proportional representation, open to the members here to discuss. And Danny did that, and there was commentary, and Doug created a separate Google document in a different location, and he was asked to put it on Danny's location, and that never happened. And that's the problem here is that we don't have now to make a long story short, we don't have a hard copy of Doug's document because he never put it on the place where we all agreed
Whatever led up to the conclusions of what you're about to present or summarize is all I think that's important.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, I'd like to take as much input as possible. If Doug had input, we could discuss it. I don't have it in front of me, so we can kind of save that.
Is all discussion here limited to whatever is on Google Docs?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you.
The gist of Doug's document was really, I think, two things. One was you have to fill in the details of the proportional proposal. That was the big gist of it. Mm-hmm. And then he added also, you really have to clear this all with CB 1, right. 2, and 3. That was an important part also, and I thought that would be very useful.
Okay. That's good. I actually had a conversation with a council member today, too, which I can kind of report on, you know, related to this. So I think that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
Today too. Yes. Okay. So basically, the document contains some background, opinion as to why we might need a different voting structure. Okay. And then throughout, a very general idea, not concrete, not filled in, about how to accomplish that using principles that I believe we've already used before. Okay? And that's kind of weighted votes by category. Right? So the general kind of idea to approximate representational kind of voting was rather than having people fight over constituents and votes and I had this many members and that many members and which is impractical, right? Was to take the approach, which I contend is very similar to what the Matrix Committee, Selection Committee took, and just apportion weights to certain categories, and then ask people to join those categories. Now, how it's different than the Selection Committee is that you didn't assign people to categories because you limited to three representatives to vote, and you instructed those three representatives to vote according to these weights. So the idea of weights was borrowed, but the implementation was different, necessarily different, because The at least what, as we knew the selection process to be, we were allowed three representatives. Was it three representatives at the table? Three out of seven representatives at the table? Yeah. So those three were tasked to vote according to these weights. Okay, so my feeling is that the three limitation was imposed upon the CWG, right, as a participant. If there were 10, we could do it differently. If there were 50 or 100, you could do it differently. But the idea was that you wanted to represent the interest by weights, and that was to me a key part of the Matrix Selection Committee, and that's why I thought that this could follow in the other decisions that that this CWG makes. So
there's extra copies there.
Yeah.
So do you need
one?
There's one.
I think you should read your proposal.
Just read it,
because it's very brief.
Okay. So basically, the summary there is that basically weighted votes by category, and basically we can come up with a better approximation to representation, in quotes, than the current one-member, one-vote system. And one possible approach would be, and I had outlined several steps. One, come up with categories for member organizations. So CWG is a organization, right? It isn't an individual organization because as a voting, you can't vote as a single person, right? So it's categories for member organizations. Assign member organizations to one, and in my proposal, and only one category. If you pick a category, okay, and then you come up with a weight for that category, and then within the category, each member divvies up the weight.
What assign a weight to the category? What was the assignment of the weight?
So an example, I think, is what Rob suggested down below in the document, right? That if there were... So he suggested four categories, right? Residents, business owners, other associations, organizations, nonprofits, and property owners. So that's an example of like a set of categories. And the weights that were proposed by Rob were 40, 20, 20, 20. So if, for instance, if there were 10 residents organizations, then if you follow my suggestion above, then there were 10 resident organizations, they would be up to 40 votes and get four hashes each. If there were 27 resident organizations, they would get 40 over 27 votes each, right? So that's how you kind of get to a weight for your vote. And that was kind of what a lot of the comments were discussing, the pros and cons of, you know, all or nothing, whether you had to vote within your category, and then that category came out as one, and both Rob and I agreed that that's not a good system because you lose voice there, right? You have to caucus and agree, and it's all or nothing. It's better to have the individual organization still have a vote, and a vote that counts, rather than having
but
to make
it out. But their vote is thrown into that category, whether their vote is counted up within the category of...
Well, their vote is counted against the entire vote. They just have four, right? Residents would have four, because if there's 40 votes allotted, a weight of 40 allotted to residents, and there are 10 resident organizations, then each one has four. So that's...
But if there were 20...
Then each one would have two. Yeah. So that's the, you know, in a nutshell, you know, I think a lot of what was discussed in the comments boiled down to that. Yes.
I think one of the appealing things, as I am hearing this, is that I believe at the last meeting it was raised that there's a possibility of packing the house. I mean, this is done with political clubs, where all of a sudden you might find somebody, 50 guys, trying to pack a club before an election. I think if we use this essentially method of ratio, we avoid that, because no matter which of these groups tries to pack one organization, one category, it's still divvied up with a limited number of final votes. It bounds the influence. So
as long as you categorize properly,
correct,
it bounds the influence of a certain interest.
And I think the other caveat that we have to be careful of is one group claiming membership in two categories, because even though that can get muddy, and I think that's one of the things that we have to work out. But if we look at how, I think the clearest example of is packing a political club, which is done all the time here in New York. I think that people before election, they try to get an influence into a particular club, and thereby, you know, packing the membership. Then when the politicians or voters are looking, they see this group has membership. So we're limiting and we're divvying up, no matter how, if one category becomes suddenly 400 members, the 400 have to divide that among the 40 votes. And I think that avoids this whole problem.
And you probably have an answer, but say we're going to take the residence category, and we have 40 organizations, and the current debate at this point in time is the area that we're going to be covering, and the current debate is how represented the Lower East Side is in this debate, as opposed to the Chinatown core. So I'm curious to know how this configuration would satisfy the potential calls for equal weight or equal representation among a geographic area that may be, if the residence category has more groups in it that belong to Chinatown than do in the Lower East Side, or the Lower East Side has more groups in it than Chinatown, are we still not open to another debate, or is there a way of balancing that? It's a question.
Yeah, I made an attempt, and I'm not sure that it's the right way to go, but I addressed that. And also to your question, Jim, as well, if you turn over the page around, just turn the page around. A member must choose voting membership in one and one only of the four categories. You have to choose one. It doesn't say whether you have to stick with that one. The power politics is that if you have very few, say, associations, you can get a lot of power if you're an association in that category, right? Let's say you're the only one in that category, right? On the other hand, the residential area has a, you know, it's a much more diffuse, but there are probably more individuals in it. And if you did caucus, you could actually influence yourself, promote your influence in there.
Within the category.
I mean, these are some other possibilities. But the issue of residence is in C over there was the boundary of China. And that's a very controversial thing, Michael, still.
Well, what
but the boundaries that I gave were up to Delancey Street, basically. Essex Street, Rutgers, on the eastern boundary. Madison Street to Oliver Street.
Yeah, we can read it here. But what's your reasoning for doing this boundary specifically?
To define what is Chinatown.
That's the goal. But what's your justification?
I guess it's the vote that they made, I don't know, a couple of months ago when they said, is it going to be called the Chinatown Working Group, Chinatown, or Chinatown and surrounding areas, or I don't know what the third
right,
one
so
was.
Right, so there was
the whole CD3. So mine was sort of maybe the most restrictive of those.
In that discussion, there was no streets that were decided upon, correct?
That's true.
So you came up, you
I did it. I came up with ideas. That's it.
I just wanted to clarify.
Out of my ass. Strictly out of my ass, okay?
And this is an example of something that, you know, both as an example of something that can be defined, right, to define.
It could be done some other way, right. You know, without boundaries at all.
You had in effect, just lined out a whole area that was a subject of great controversy in the very inception of this. So why did you do that?
To have something.
By eliminating something else into nothing.
No, to have something to discuss, but put on the table.
But you disposed the whole community.
No, putting it on the table is to give you an opportunity to say no.
That was not a wise thing to do.
So I think that this group walks a fine line, right? We're tasked to walk a fine line because we've been asked to come up with a concrete proposal for discussion. It's for discussion, right? It's not for a yay nay vote to present to the entire CWG. It's for discussion.
I don't know when you say this, but you mean the group that's not the whole committee, but the group that is supposed to.
Yes,
right. It's for discussion, and I don't know if all of you in the group agree on all this. We're hoping that this is a serious proposal, right? It's a serious one, right?
My question would be based on that.
One thing is throwing things out for discussion, is that you're just throwing so we can have a debate, serious about the idea.
Exactly, that's a good question.
I don't have a lot of time for just throwing things out just for discussion and discussion's sake. But if you're serious, then you can throw. Then it's.
See, I have to object.
Victor, excuse me.
Okay.
I have my hand up.
I am not shutting up. I object to the boundary.
That's Victor. That's
how discussing the boundary.
Who's the chair?
And I
please
object.
Just point out that next time, watch
the proposal.
The problem. Let Victor.
The proposal in all of its. The proposal that you make, I find very interesting. May in fact be something that resolves this question of proportional representation in my mind. But when you start adding things to this that have no, for example, adding these boundaries is going to serve to cause a lot of confusion within the group because it opens up a question that has long since been resolved, which is the study area. And we accepted that last definition that the Chinatown Work Group came up with in terms of defining the core of Chinatown and related areas, but that's as far as I would go.
Okay. So, Rob?
Yeah, two things. One is that there's another element in this that's really important, because I suggest here that if you look at a membership is any person or representative of an organization subscribes to the CJP mission. In other words, I'm actually suggesting that we scrap the whole organizations only. This is only going to work. The proposal that I've made is only going to work if you allow individual residents come to CWG and be categorized in it as residents. That's one point. The second point is, I think that we should not waste time arguing over the principle of the boundaries. We should try to reformulate the boundaries or scrap boundaries.
I am not discussing boundaries again.
Excuse me.
We're Victor. Raise Victor. Boundaries again?
I think he's suggesting that Victor, possibly to
what I'm saying is that we should either... Victor.
Yes, bro.
Please listen. That we come up with an alternative to C, which is the boundary. Just come up with an alternative, whatever you want, your alternative, whatever it is, it's fine. It was only there to discuss, that's all.
But I would agree, Rob, with, I'm sorry, just on the, real quick, just to, let's think about May's question, because we don't have all tons of time in the world, you know, to just put out discussion topics. I think we should really make serious proposals and then be prepared to defend those proposals, right. Not just like, put them on, you know, so just put it out there.
Well, I really appreciate the, the work at trying to figure out how do you make this more of the voice of the people who actually are affected by the Chinatown Working Group's efforts. And I see problems wherever we go because, I don't see a perfect solution, I should say it that way, just the idea of any person coming to the meeting, I mean, just realistically, I think that would be tough just to negotiate, just logistically in terms of how do you find a meeting space and how do you run a meeting with any person who decides to come, although it sounds good on paper.
I'm sorry, just for clarification, you're responding to Rob's idea specific, about individual participation?
Yeah, any person. So there's that. The other thing I still don't think we get around is that and it's not solved by the way the governance structure is now either, but I don't think we get around that people will be self-electing themselves to represent housing, any of these business owners. You know, you're basically still self-selecting yourself to be that rep. So I would love to hear, it's not solved by the current governing structure either. I think it's endemic, you know. Issue. The other thing is I do agree that the Chinatown Lower East Side piece in these categories, if you know you have 50 residents from the Lower East Side and resident organizations and two from Chinatown, how you know that's a question. And the other just thing I was thinking is that a landlord could potentially decide that they were represented residents of their buildings. You know, I mean that's choose to think of it that way,
they've done it before, so.
Right? That's true. So anyway, I mean, those are questions. And
yeah. If I could end, my two cents worth, Kay, and I understand the concern over having individuals come to the Chinatown Working Group. That is a serious concern. I think that the original intention of not having individuals come to the table was just for that reason. We would not suddenly want to have 500 members and then have to accommodate them and then listen to 500 opinions. I think, however, if under this weighted vote, if an individual chooses to belong to one of these subcommittee groups, I think the reality is you'll probably only get a few dozen individuals. I think the reality is different than what the fear is. And I also think that the reason I kept bringing up, as you saw in the email threads, and some of you have been privy to what I've been asking about governance specifically, how did someone become a member into this organization? I think if we have very clear, very transparent rules and history and things that we can look back on, of each of the groups who have come here, mm-hmm. I think people will say, well, I have confidence in that, I'm willing to build on to that. And I think we look from the point of view of someone who may have come to the last few meetings or may have sporadically attended Chinatown Working Group meetings. I think they're very confused as to how, because I've been told this, they're very confused as to how do I become one of the people that's sitting at the round table at the front. if someone's English is compromised, I think that even makes it even harder because there's nothing translated into a step-by-step. And I would go so far as to say maybe we should be publishing this rules of how to join at every Chinatown working group meeting. I don't think that's mm-hmm. a difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. Thereby, somebody who just happened to come can take this home with them and say, okay, it's in two languages. I now know that if me and my four friends want to form a group or we already have a group, we never knew we could be there.
Exactly.
And I think that's where, again, if we're going to be tasked with bringing more people to the table in an organized and transparent way, I think that the first step has to be, how do I become a member? And I have to also have confidence in that the people who were at the table were there through some organized, vetted procedure. And I think that's what we really need to... And I as somebody who has been attending it, I understand the process to some degree. But as we already have, as I've mentioned here, Zella made a comment that she said there is no documentation, but then I get news from May that there is documentation. So I think that it's very clear that we all don't know. So for somebody who wishes in all good intention to be a part of this process is triply challenged.
Yep.
And so I think we need to build on that before we can... And maybe we don't have to address individuals at all. Maybe we can just use this very transparent system to mm-hmm. have people form small groups and then come to the table. I'm not saying yep. that individuals need to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think May was pointing
next to him. Okay, so I think CWG is not quite like a governmental organization like the way Congress or city councils, where you have open elections and duly represented, you know, representatives, so that are duly elected, but in an open public election. So this is but this is a voluntary organization, where people volunteer to join. So I agree that, you know, we need that all this information about how to join has to be more open. Because the minute we became co-chairs, so people asked, "Oh, can we join?" And, you know, we're 10.
That's
like,
a
of course
great
you
sign.
Can. You just have to do these things, and actually they're not that hard. And if you have difficulty with it, I'll walk you through it. You know, so. I also have a problem with the boundaries. And Robbie said make another suggestion. So my suggestion is no boundaries.
But if we could just elaborate, can we get a commitment by these people in this room that we will suggest that at the next one, that we have some form of having some bilingual rules and some more transparency about the process? Can we have a commitment that will actually occur before we move on to the boundary question?
So, I have a thought.
I think the stuff about how to join, that can be made more open. The translation stuff where, you know, working hard on it, you know, it's always this resource issue, so we're just, I think we're not saying, no, we can't provide translations because we don't have resources, right? So we're doing the best we can, and we're, you know, and we are actually now asking the elected officials to give us a volunteer or something to translate anything, you know, no matter what it is. So it will not be perfect, but we are definitely committed to it, and I think...
And also, I'm still not clear on the who actually says, yes, you're in, or no, you're not in. I'm totally in the dark about how that process takes place.
I guess, you know, we're new and just learned, but you just have... So there's no criterion as to sort of like what your mission is, what type of organization you are. It's just simply as it is. If you have to affirm that you support the mission, you know, we're not going to give you a test about whether or not you support it, or you don't have... There's no litmus test around that. So you can be really new to CWG or a new group that just started or an old group. And those four things, you just have to submit something about those four things. And it's
Jen is referring to the problem with Norma.
The way I understand it with Norma is that she didn't do those four things yet. So maybe she still has to do it. I don't know if she gave up or, you know, I don't know what it is, but if she does those four things,
this is outside of Norma. This is people asking me who are, you know.
Yeah, so so she just hasn't done it yet. That's what Lisa tells me. Okay,
point about the other thing too.
So I guess the boundaries, I guess my suggestion of boundaries is no boundaries. Actually, your boundaries cut out some of the members already, so I don't know what you're going to do about, you know. So, Yeah, you cut these guys out. These two, you already just cut these two guys out.
Oh,
so anyway, and plus some other ones, some culture. You cut out two cultural organizations.
Oh, good. And PS130.
And PS130, you barely just got them. I don't know. Maybe they're out. I don't know.
No,
so you cut out two places. I think. Did you cut out? Yeah.
Cut Two Bridges neighborhood by the
river. You know, so that's why you got to be careful.
And that was also intentional.
Because boundaries were controversial before. We're trying to expand the membership, so why are we trying to draw a boundary around the membership? You know, so that's my thing about boundaries.
I'm sorry, I'm taking minutes off this little time. But I did have one question, because Jan was asking, he had a question about who says you're in or not, you know you're not in, and you had said that you have to do these four things. Now, but you also said that it could be totally new, it could be old, it could be this, it could be that, and we want to work with groups. So my understanding with what happened with Norma, and this could happen, like Jan is saying, it's not just about Norma, obviously, but what could happen is that if for whatever reason there's miscommunication, there's questions about, you know, whether the person is fulfilling the four things, there might be some gray area. Are these things brought to, or if the person doesn't have those, like has three of the four things
on the form,
that should be part of the membership.
Really? Yeah, the four things should be on the form.
No, but I guess my question in terms of, like, you know, presenting new members and then making that process kind of like an open part of general meetings or what have you. That's a question I have, or something that I think should happen in some form. Maybe not go through the whole, all right, do you have this, like check the administrative stuff, but like, okay, have the person present themselves, you know, when they're applying or when they're presenting their stuff or after they've been kind of cleared or if there's a problem, or just, you know, have it out in the open a little bit.
So we had an order, right? Zello was next, then Rob, and she's not done yet, and you're after that.
So that was about the boundaries.
And I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm just like, my brain is operating behind my pen.
Okay. Sorry. About the individuals, I mean, you know, my understanding of why why organizations don't allow individuals to join, it's not because they can't deal with 500 people. I mean, you know, it's more about the stacking. You know, you could have individuals from a certain group, right? All of a sudden, they don't say, they just come and all join, and what are you going to do, right? You said individuals could join. So
that's where the...
Right, but the thing about the waiting is that, you know, it's sort of, you know, we have a diversity of voices in our community. So, you know, I'm most familiar with the associations. And I know there's a lot more than 20, and they all have different voices, different perspectives, different ways they relate to the community, and you can't... And, you know, some groups have said to me, well, you know, my voice, I may only represent 160 artists, but I think my voice is really important. I deserve, you know, as much a say as the next person. So, you know, in our community, you know, when you decide waiting, it's a little arbitrary because our community is like, it's always like this, right? It's you know, it's like a continuum, always moving and always growing and shrinking. And, I think that we definitely need to do more to include people, more inclusive, getting more people who are not already here to participate and be part of CWG and actually have a real voice. But it's done by including those people, but not necessarily setting a number of votes given to all those people. Because so it's sort of going with the growth or the shrinking of the community wherever it is, not just setting a number of votes and forcing people to caucus together.
No, forcing.
Oh, you had a caucus or something, you said, when they voted?
You don't have to caucus.
They don't have to?
So how does that work?
So basically, if there's, if there were 40 votes out of residents and there were 20, let's say 80 residential organizations, then each one would have half a vote. So you don't caucus, you just vote. You can caucus if you like.
Right. So they get less votes. They get less voting because they're in a category.
Yeah, so but they can vote
within their categories.
Right, you don't vote within your category and then come out. You vote with
winner take all.
Right.
There's no winner take all.
But their vote has less weight because there's a lot more people in their category.
But the category has a weight. That's the point. Right.
So, but some people really, you know, not everyone really want to have their own weight, you know, it's just, you know, and that's, you know, the diversity of the community.
Maybe one more, because I think...
Would you make a distinction between profit and not-for-profit?
I think that that's a discussion point, but, yeah.
I think so. And also, like, a distinction between membership and non-membership, you know, I mean, like, who has a say in how decisions are made within organizations.
Some organizations are hybrids, you know, they're not like one or the other.
All of us belong to a variety of organizations, some of which are more serious than others, and some that spend a great deal of time, and some that are a little bit less formal than that. But I am a little concerned for more organized organizations within the scenario, and I know absolutely, I know very little about CCBA, but let me just take CCBA as an example. There are many times that I have been asked to represent an organization because all the members can't attend. And we've had a meeting and we've caucused or we've petitioned and I'm there to present what the will is of that organization. And I'm sure that that occurs with great debate and thought with CCBA. And say there are 1,000 people who belong to that and they've joined the residents category. And we now have individual members, or we've spread this out a great deal, and say there are now 80 people in
the... What do you mean, individual members?
We're not just talking about individuals being able to come forward. The table.
Nobody else is
okay. Or any number of other... I'm glad there's an answer, but if I could finish my question... maybe it's a 10, you get it down to 10 associations or something if you want it. But that means that CCBA, if there's a very important vote within the resident category, is really going to be forced to ask all of their members to attend, which could be a problem because that could overweight things, or it could be a difficulty for CCBA, which has for years and years said, I will faithfully represent you in whatever cause, and now all of a sudden they've got a 0.5 vote among hundreds of other people.
Can I ask how that would be different than what it is now?
Right. It's my understanding is how it is
now. How is that worse than CCBA. What it is now?
I'm not comparing. We're moving forward on governance. I'm not prepared to say give a vote of confidence or not to anything that has occurred previously. All I am posing are questions that are currently on the table.
Right.
I'm not going back. I'm trying to go forward.
I'll go next.
No, but with that,
I'm next.
Yep. No, but can I just...
No, actually. Because I'm
in that angle, I would say that in going forward, I think then you should try to make a kind of a forward-thinking proposal about what, if you're not comparing it to what we currently have, and you're saying this other model may not work, so then what's a way to move forward?
I'm not criticizing the model. I'm asking because there's some very... There's been some good thought in this, and is there an answer to that question? That's all I'm asking.
I have one, but I'll wait my turn.
let me say that these questions are not new. There have been grassroots organizations that have been dealing with these questions over and over and over, and there are many easy solutions to them, and probably the easiest one is requiring membership not to be an organization, but to attend a certain number of meetings before they get to vote. And you can even say a certain number of more or less consecutive, like you could miss one, but not eight. Those are simple methods that are very well known. And that's why I think that we should move it towards individuals with a method of that nature. Now, I want to say a couple of things about this. This is not, the proposal that I made proportion.
One quick question. Do you have anything to add about, just what you've been imagining about individual participation that you could add now?
What do you mean?
Do you have any specific, more concrete...
I am an individual, you're an individual...
Right. Why don't we let him finish?
Okay. It's just about bouncing
around. I don't know what you mean.
When you say individual participation, what does that look like in your head? If you can just take it in two or three sentences.
People come to a meeting maybe two times, and the third time they get to vote.
Yeah, so each individual has a vote.
Each individual has a vote. They have to choose their category that they're going to be in. Mm-hmm. And they might choose that politically, like CCBA might think, well, we're a landowner. We also represent a whole bunch of businesses. We also reside there. So we have to choose where we get the most power in this. But their power is limited because whichever they choose, they're not going to get a majority in any of them. And just to make clear, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the whole notion. If you belong in the association category, the association category with the 20 votes, they can be split up. Right? In any vote, the vote is going to be yes or no. So your association may want to say no. CCBA wants to say yes. Well, they'll get, and if there are the only two associations at a meeting, then you'll get 10 votes, and CCBA will get 10 votes. And you will be expressing yourself, actually, you'll be expressing yourself quite a lot.
Well,
and that's what I want to say.
There'll never be two. Okay.
Yeah, but that's, of course, because actually the associations are the heart of CJBG right now. And part of this is to bring in more individuals and more residents. The other thing I want to say...
I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to go a little deeper into the idea, well, since we were there. Okay, please. I mean, I'm interrupting because I'm taking minutes, and I just want to clarify some of the ideas, because we talk about a lot of stuff, and sometimes we don't go deeper into the ideas.
You're
not
my time.
That's all.
Minutes are what drops.
You're like a stickler for like extreme democracy in a way that I feel like... It's just only on
just Kay is
superficial level.
Turn. She's waiting for her to say something.
No, but then...
But go ahead, say what you want to say.
I'm just wanting to let you know I appreciate that you took the time to go deeper because we need to do that because we talk about a lot of ideas and we just stay on the surface. That's
okay. So this is what I wanted to say. This is actually not
you just said.
A proportional proposal because if you took the proportions of who is in Chinatown, you'd find that probably 95% are residents of actual numbers of people. How many associations, how many property owners, how many, what's the other category? Businesses are actually in Chinatown. They're a much smaller number. So if we did it proportionally in that crude way, associations would get very little voice at all. And this is actually, this is the notion that I work with.
So you mean organizations of any type?
Like social service organizations, arts organizations.
Okay.
Nonprofits. This was the principle that I worked on. Was not proportion at all. But on the notion of, you're familiar with primary goods and secondary goods, like money is a secondary good because you can't eat it and you can't live under it. But you can buy a piece of pizza, and that's a primary good. You can eat the pizza, right? So the notion here is that the community, the primary good of the community, are the people who live there. Whoever lives there, that's the community. But the businesses and the landowners and the associations, social service associations and the arts organizations, they're essential. They're a secondary good. They serve that community. And so they need to be given a vote, a voice, an important voice. So I gave the residents only 40%. So they didn't have a majority. And I gave 20% to each one of those, sort of roughly, as a way of saying they are important. They can't be just given the proportion. They have to have some power. So that we have a community that is more than just the people who live there. That was the principle. It's not proportional.
Okay, you can interrupt me, Michael. I guess back to Jan's, I think, really critical point about the transparency issue, and that I think that's part of what we're tasked with, mm-hmm. is to, if there are four criteria currently, that may not matter. It's like we're tasked with figuring out what are the criteria that would make sense and having those in three languages, which shouldn't be that hard to get.
I think my understanding, what May said, the steering committee has made that criteria mm-hmm. in 2009. So we don't have to reinvent that.
Okay.
The whole CWG voted on the criteria.
Okay.
No, they never
right,
did.
Wait, so.
They never did.
So whatever that is, but I think the transparency issue about...
They never did.
About having that available at every meeting so that everyone knows this is how you would join in the three languages. But I'm not sure if we want to shift some of that criteria. I assume that, anyway, I'm not interested in shifting it, but if you do this thing, you will be, I assume. I just want to say also that I think CCBA can probably speak for itself on all of these issues, right, and we'll get a chance to do so. The other thing, I guess, you know, back to the individuals, is that I don't know how it would be if I come to a meeting representing me and you come representing a tennis organization of 100 people, that my vote is the same. I just, there's something that doesn't make sense to me about that, just, again, practically. And the other issue that, you know, I think we keep trying to invent ways, and it's correct, you know, to invent ways to make this more the voice of people for who live here and work here and build their dreams here. But we also know that some of us are going to come to meetings and feel more entitled to talk than anybody else. White people talk. We talk. You know we talk. Men talk. Middle and upper class people talk. And
I talk in my sleep.
And he talks in his sleep. So
about CWG.
That's what you know. That's the only time I can get a word in.
It's kind of hard to be the chair, right? But so I don't know that this solves that issue. It's like, and I know that we're trying to solve that issue. I just don't know that this does.
What is it that you don't know? The weighted voting or the?
The weighted voting is still, to me, it's still we're self-electing, you know. And maybe that's a better way to self-elect, but it's still, I guess I'm saying it purports to solve a problem that
that problem is resolved with the governance thing, with the leadership thing. With the leadership thing. It's not resolved.
Let him finish.
So, anyway,
Michael can interrupt, but I can't.
You work it out with him.
That was just a point of information. I'm taking minutes. That was a point of information.
I think I've made my point. But I think it doesn't solve the essential question. And I'm not sure anything does, but I think we can, this people who believe in this proposal can make a good faith effort about proposing this with a good faith understanding that that's what's being tried for.
I would like to kind of stop and make a point before I forget the point, and then kind of go. So there's a couple points here that's been made, you know, and I think you made one about, kind of the current, you know, that choosing weights is somewhat arbitrary. And I would argue, you know, again, I approach it a little bit mathematically. I kind of argue that the current system is weighted as well. It's just that the weight is implicit, not explicit. Mm.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that implicit weight says something about what the CWG decides. It's because of the weight.
That's correct.
So every system has a weight.
Yep.
The weight is one. And with Kay's example, it's exactly, you know, within a category, that's exactly the same problem as we have right now with one category.
Yep.
Right? It's the same problem. Right? One person versus others. I would like to put out that the... without thinking very much about it, but liking the idea of individuals being able to join and participate, what I thought and suggested would be that the CWG within the categories have a catch-all category. So basically, a catch-all for residents. So basically, there would be a group that would be a group, say within residents, and as residents come in and join, they fall into a catch-all category. They don't have to belong to an organization, they belong to the catch-all organization. Mm-hmm. And that catch-all organization, they have to caucus. And if there's more of them, you create more catch-all groups within the group to kind of accommodate growth in individual participation. That kind of levels the field a little bit in terms of organizations versus you're creating a dummy organization in which people have to work together to kind of come out of there. Okay, that's one way to kind of avoid the flood, right? That's possible. But, you know, what I'd like to kind of suggested that, you know, we talked about the problem, right? You know, and you know the issues, the one person voting and the versus 100 person organization. So those are kind of recognized problems, right? And we're trying to solve. My goal in suggesting this was not to come up with a perfect solution. My goal was to come up with an approximation that gets us a little closer, okay? And a little closer, and you know, like that our transportation principle of, you know, small steps and kind of revisiting. So take a step, get a little closer, reevaluate how it is, maybe, you know, in a year time, reevaluate how it worked, you know, who's gaming the system, who's not gaming the system, you know, things like that, and then tweak it, or go back, right? I mean, so that's the idea, is that, you know, in all the examples, and counterexamples for this, you know, for how this suggestion may not work. It actually applies to the problems today. It applies as problems today as well. And so what I'd like to do is kind of ask us to think about it in terms of, you know, a step, an approximation that's a step to getting there possibly. And
to Danny's point, could we just stick with the person that's making the point and comment on it? Because I think Danny makes a good point. I think there's something here that is worth really building upon. I just think the ancillary stuff, like the boundary and stuff, is just going to confuse the hell out of everyone and start a whole different argument, which then obfuscates the reason why we're doing this.
Victor, I think we all agree.
Well, I don't like that sarcasm. I don't like
it. It's not sarcasm.
I don't care what you're
Victor,
saying.
I said we all agree.
I just don't get why.
Victor,
why the boundary?
Victor, we all agree with you on that. We scrapped it all.
This is time enough.
Okay, it's enough. Okay.
Victor!
Okay, Victor, just continue talking.
I don't understand.
I'm
trying to be constructive. And I think you make a very good point. We build upon what you said. And I think we're going to limit the discussion to only that, the proposal about the weighing of the four categories. I think it needs more development. I think there were risks that were pointed out. But I think you're right. We could find different means of that. But we shouldn't confuse us with anything else.
I hadn't thought about it very much beforehand, but I think what Rob is kind of raising, and obviously it's not very developed, and what Danny's kind of piggybacking on about allowing individuals to weigh in, have a say in this process, I think is something we need to explore more deeply because, I totally understand where Kay's coming from. It's like, how do we do it? I mean, I don't necessarily have that answer, but I think we shouldn't get caught up in the how until we fully flesh out why that's important and maybe debate that if there is a debate to be had, and I think if there is. Because I think that to go along with what you're saying about, not even percentages, but like that there are kind of, you want to allow individuals to voice, as in like a popular vote, kind of their preferences for what their community should look like, you know. But you also want to respect and give voice to the organizations that on a day-to-day basis kind of deal with these issues and kind of, because of the role as advocates or service providers or whatever, they kind of are able to kind of summarize and analyze the problems in a more systematic way. So,
I thought you'd say that, Michael.
No, but so I think that there's something to, you know, I don't know exactly, I don't know if I necessarily agree with what Rob or Danny was putting out in terms of the way to do it. I don't know if it makes sense to lump individuals, even though they should be able to participate in general meetings or what have you. But maybe there's some way that individuals can, have a say in terms of, ratifying what, the organizational...
Ultimately.
Or maybe more frequently, maybe not every general meeting or something like that, but we work that into our decision-making system, our decision-making model much in a better way.
But isn't the individual model, the first category, isn't that up for manipulation?
The residential stacking?
Yeah, the
any more than the...
But it's bounded.
Elections,
it's bounded, right? It's bounded by the allotment.
Yeah.
40 votes. That's the most that... So you stack it, the most you can influence the CWG is 40 votes, right?
Are you talking about
that's the whole point of it, actually.
But what... Yeah.
That's the whole purpose of it, to prevent that stacking. It's the whole idea. Not the whole idea, but important.
Yeah, I think Robert's better than me.
First, I want to say that I want to withdraw item C here, the boundary of Chinatown, right? Because there is unanimous agreement that people do not like that boundary. So if I have to take it out with my own hands and eat it with the words themselves, I will.
Google Docs will have captured
this. I think when you put the boundaries in, you force people to object to it for reasons that may get misinterpreted in Chinatown. Because I'm not objecting to Chinatown as a boundary, but I think
if any of us have to defend the fact that other neighborhoods should be included in this process, we have to speak against the boundaries that you set in here. I have to say a comment, perhaps in front of the press, saying I object to these boundaries. How that gets interpreted outside is really making my job more difficult, because I work in Chinatown, and I work with Asian population and Hispanic population. That's why I thought this was unnecessary, even to have been discussed at this meeting. I think it's unfair.
Divisive. It's divisive.
Yes, it's divisive. It was a mistake.
Okay, so he's withdrawn it.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
In minutes.
So, yeah.
Record.
There was something else I wanted to say, but in all of this, I can't remember a clue.
We can come back to it. Who's next?
Okay. So I want to speak to this waiting thing, since Dan had talked about it and Victor had just talked about it. I am really not interested in doing this waiting thing. I think, you know, whatever wait you set, it's arbitrary. You know, somebody's going to say it's arbitrary. Even if this, you know. And then the other thing is, it's too complex, you know. I mean, our current voting system in the United States is already complex, and this is like even more. It took me a long time to understand this, and I think I'm pretty smart. And so you think other people are good. I mean, other people will take even longer to understand it. This thing about the individual, say, you know, maybe there should be an individual category of membership. I guess we have to watch out for the stacking, but I think the waiting thing is not the way to go. You can do all kinds of gaming with this waiting thing. You can be a property owner and say, I'm a landlord and I own the building and I represent all the residents there, right? And you kind of tenant association say, well, I represent them. You know, there are senior centers who have residents here and say, I represent. You know, you can't make people like go into one thing or the other. It's too complex. So we should try to make it easy for people to join CWG, not make them like, you know, understand these rules and see how they fit in. The easiest thing to do is to have, you know, we you know, as Jan said, you know, make sure that everyone understands how to join, make the rules fairly simple so they're not barriers to joining. We need maybe perhaps a membership committee that monitors the membership and makes sure that it's representative. Perhaps they should, you know, on a regular basis, review the membership and make suggestions for additional members. And then have a way to recruit those members or get them into CWG and participate, you know, outreach to them. And then they should also report to the larger group meeting, you know, on a certain basis, so that everybody knows what's going on and can input to it, even if they're not members of the membership committee. So it would be like one organization, one vote per entity, whatever that entity is. It's the simplest thing to do, but at the same time, we have to have another mechanism to make sure that we're, you know, including everyone that needs to be included in this process. That's a proposal.
To answer a couple of May's points, I understand. I think I'm a little bit confused as to how what you're proposing in opposition to this is better than what this is, because I think that, as we have seen in Chinatown Working Group, we recently had the developers who actually walked away from the table. Tomorrow, 10 developers can come into the table. And if I bring another arts group and another arts group and another art group, I'm still outweighed by the 10 at the 10 developers at the table. So we've witnessed what can happen when someone walks away from the table. The scenario that we have right now makes us extremely vulnerable, I think, to many, many, many developers outweighing any number on the Chinatown Working Group as it is now. If 10 developers then walked into property owners group, which is a separate category of large property owners group, it doesn't matter if 100 developers come. We, in a sense, who would be otherwise be vulnerable, are now protected. Because at the most, they've got X number of votes that they can bring. They've got to divvy that up, and they've got to come to a consensus among themselves about what they want to do. Right now, we have a system, I think, that can leave the arts out of this entirely, because they're organized, they have money, they can pay people to lobby, they have access to government, they have access to certainly all kinds of grant writing and all things that we've witnessed over the years, if all of us have been in this, they could present the Chinatown Working Group with 10 folders. You and I in the arts groups or other residential groups just don't have the manpower to do that. And so I think that this is a solution to the fear that you have of always having a balance at the table. And what I fear is that we've seen developers walk away from the table, they can come back with 10 more. And then all of this is for nothing. You know, the 197A plan will not be reflective of what we're trying to shoot for.
One way to deal with it is to have quotas for the categories, because you want to have some kind of representation in some fair way, so that it's not stacked. Stacked with social service organizations, whatever it's going to be stacked with, or developers. You don't want it to be stacked. So that's one way of doing it. And there's a certain appeal to having quotas. And
we're getting complicated, though. But I agree
actually
with May,
recruiting.
But we don't want to get it too complicated.
Well, I think it's actually not too complicated. If you actually recruit people as residents and say, okay, you are going to be the residents, you've got to be there every meeting. And actually bring people.
Doug brought that
but
up.
that's just another possibility.
Well, as a minimum or maximum, what do you mean?
You say you have to have 40 residents at every meeting. There could be 100 there, but only 40 of them, they get to be voting as a resident. And that's another way of doing it. That's not the one that I suggested, but it's another way. So it has the virtue of recruiting actual residents, because that's the problem here. We don't have enough residents. So that's a possibility, but I'm concerned more with this whole idea of excluding individuals from a community group. It seems completely insane. There are problems, yes, with bringing in people and equal footing with organizations. Sure, there are problems there, but the deeper problem is excluding people in a community group. Community group has got to begin with the people. And it's not easy to become a Chinatown Working Group member. It's actually really difficult if you're just an ordinary person who doesn't happen to belong to some organization that meets regularly, right? This is the criteria. Meets regularly, has minutes, right? That, right there, an ordinary person doesn't meet either one of those things. And how are they going to have regular meetings? It's going to take them time to have an organization. It's just insane. So I think we really have to deal with this and have individuals in there and then figure out how to do the voting thing with individuals.
I think Zella's next.
Wilson has
said. I am in sympathy to May's comments regarding complexity. One of the things that I've witnessed is that our participation is going down and not up. And that occurs at many of the working team meetings, and it has been occurring over the last three full CWG meetings. And while we're all anticipating a great groundswell of lots of people showing up, the practice or recent history poses that you might also have to look at the fact that outreach isn't going to do it, that you haven't got the volunteers to keep the outreach repopulating everything, and that what you're really going to be dealing with is more attrition than you are expansion, because people get exhausted. This is an exhausting conversation. And you know, Danny, from the transportation working team meetings. I know it from the economic team meetings. I have sat in on other meetings. The numbers of people who would sit at the table trying to finish it up get smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm a little worried in this proportional representation. You only have four people.
Okay, I'll just let her finish.
Four and a half. Jackie.
So I'm a little worried that the few numbers is the thing that we're going to have to worry about a little bit more than the many numbers. And the second piece is how hard do we have to work on membership on a regular basis, and if we're constantly bringing in new members and we're still trying to move down the schedule, and we've got now got new members who come in after 60% of it has been done or 50% has been decided, then what are we dealing with as an organization with a constant learning curve thing happening here? Are there questions? There are probably answers to it, but I think they're real scenarios.
I agree with Zellin. One of the scenarios that I see is that possibly you don't outreach to enough business organization, and let's say you only have one business organization, and that one vote is now weighted 20% versus the hundreds of residents that you could pull together weighing only 40%. And that 20% is actually a lot.
In comparison to...
That's true.
I understand that in reality there may be fewer people showing up to meetings, and as I saw, based on the fact that there was used to be 52 voting members and now only about 26 on average show up, yeah. You're averaging about half. I think that we have to examine why that is. I think that it is a reality and we acknowledge that. And the feedback that I get from trying to be one of those ambassadors and trying to be one of those people who are trying to get people is there isn't confidence. And this is the reason why I'm so adamant about understanding the process of membership and bringing more people to the table. The feedback that I get on street level is they have no idea. And it's not in Chinese. And it's overwhelming. So people who have attended one or two may try to get a grasp of what's happening and leave very disillusioned. And I think that the reality that you point to is true. I don't think it's based on the fact that this is going to be a downward spiral. I think that there are people waiting in the wings that would like to be a part of this process, but they just don't have the tools or the confidence in the structure. And I think that now that we have a change of the co-chairs, there's already been a very different spirit at the meetings that I have felt, and so I think that we're moving in the correct direction, and I think we could look forward to an increase, if anything. If we adopt, as Kay and May have said, we make it very transparent and very easy to join.
But yeah, Zella is right that, a lot of people join, but then, it's like, they usually, you have to go somewhere with them, so...
I agree wholeheartedly with what Jan just said, and I appreciate Zella and Wilson putting out, because I think we do need to confront the reality, but then we have to ask why is that the reality, and as somebody who is an organizer in a membership organization, albeit with individuals all working towards the same goal, I mean individuals not representing organizations, they're still people working towards the same goal, much like as representatives of organizations, we're people trying to work towards a similar goal. With different interests, but I think with the same spirit. And I think, but the reality of membership organizations is that it's dynamic. Different. Some people will sit back. It's not that they don't care anymore, but they're not going to be active. And it's true. Active membership. I think attrition is not the right word to use. I think they become inactive. But the remedy to that is, I think, what May and Jen are putting out in terms of like the need to. Involve more people. And I would agree with Jen, I think that's what revitalizes the Chinatown Working Group, is that because it's natural to have, this. There's so many demands to participate in, to be an active participant in the Chinatown Working Group and represent your organization can be extremely demanding. So that might be a reason why we need to not just involve other people, because I think there's probably, general agreement about that, but maybe how we need to redefine and rearticulate what it means to participate in the Chinatown Working Group and open that concept up so that organizations don't feel like if they're not like super active at every meeting that they can't participate, they don't have a voice. I would totally disagree with kind of like requiring attendance to be a voting member, totally. I think that we have to open it up as much as possible and really do our work so that people make informed decisions, but I mean, if you want democracy, you have to, really be able to deal with uninformed decisions, too. And that's one of our challenges.
Apparently, in the world.
In the world.
So can we put this to the press to help us? And maybe we can get some formal acknowledgement that we are working toward this in this meeting, that we can get some help from the press to be positive about how we're addressing more and more people.
Always.
Yeah. I think that we need some help in that regard.
I want to go back to the idea that, I do think that the Chinatown Working Group needs a tight proposal, as tight as possible. I realize not all the elements can be got in this process, so that whoever is, you know, behind this particular version of getting us more representative, that things do get laid out real clearly so that people know what they're being asked to look at. And that for others of us who think, you know, the other structure needed work, and that we go and do that work so that people, that we're really due diligence to the community, that, you know, that people have a real option. And I do think a lot of people are waiting to see what we decide. And I think some of us are going to be unhappy and some of us are going to be really happy or in the middle, and that's fine. I mean, I'm fine for things to go whatever way the larger group decides. The other thing, just, you know, the education in schools, I mean, we had really big participation in the beginning because everybody wanted to say their opinion, and they said their opinion. And they don't want to keep coming back to a meeting that, to do what? And people are so overwhelmed now that they don't have time to be doing this. And I agree with Michael that I don't think attendance is the issue. I think it does behoove us to make people aware of what our, you know, proposals are, and keep sending them out and keep talking to people and keep reaching out. But, you know, the parents, they can't do this, you know. And I don't think we should be asking people to. I mean, it's part of why I think it's fine to have representatives, because that, I think, is our job, is to bring the information from, in my case it was parents, to and principals and others and teachers, and do that back and forth. I think that we will see an attrition, and I think our next piece is, once we have these nailed down and our paths nailed down, that we go back out again with these very good ideas and some results, if Margaret Chin could do that. It reminds me of that.
Right. So
I think that we can always do something to make the membership. I think it's always been fairly open, but I think we need to have more information, actually, you know, to put certain things in place to make it more open. I think that, you know, when people join, the first thing they ask you, what's the purpose of the group? What are you doing? You know, they don't join because you're friendly and open, or, you know, but welcoming to them to join. So we just have to keep that in mind. They join because they agree with their purpose. They see you're doing something or going somewhere that they want to go along with you, you know, with the group. And that's all we have to keep in mind. So the stuff about, you know, the education task force, you know, this week they went to engage the committee board to get them to endorse it, you know, and engaging the public officials. I mean, those are the things that people get excited about, and that's kind of, you know, these activities, these, like, you know, milestones, the little things that we do is what keeps them coming. So we have to keep that in mind too.
I think the proposal, the four category proposals, I don't object to it totally, because I think there is a good point you make about developers at the table. You know, we're always worried about that. And other groups that can be
said. I just picked on them because we like to pick on them.
And I like what was said before about
the pistol club could show
maybe,
up.
Maybe there could be.
Yeah, I had another thing today.
Like, maybe there could be a system. See, I think we should go to the next Chinatown Working Group with a concrete proposal. As weak as it might be, adopted by this group, or as strong as it might be, we should go with a concrete proposal to be either accepted, not necessarily rejected, but maybe to be charged to go back and perfect it even more.
I'd like to hear.
Yeah.
Because I like what was said.
Hopefully bring more people in.
I like what was said about ratification. Because I think in terms of community planning and the roles that we have chosen to take on behalf of the groups we represent, I think that there's a role for that. There's a place
to develop ideas and concrete proposals. There's also a place for bringing those proposals to the people in a ratification process that is much more public and not necessarily confined to the Chinatown Working Group. In other words, we propose and the people dispose, in a sense. And maybe that these categories are where that ratification or how that ratification takes place. I hope I know that what I'm saying could be very dangerous, but I think it's worth leaving this room tonight with something very concrete is very important to the Chinatown Working Group. Whether we eventually adopt it or not, it's that we leave with this sense of having a concrete proposal. I would urge that we do that.
You're talking about at the December meeting having like an interim, at least like a, maybe we'll call it interim proposal, not the final one, and then have implementing on the December meeting, right?
Yeah, I think we should be very positive about proposing something in the December meeting, and it could be discussed and not killed. Maybe not killed, but maybe somebody suggesting that go back and do some more work on that, because I think there is something to be said about we're always participating as not-for-profit organizations, very conscious of who's in the room. And how much we can be challenged by all that was suggested in terms of lobbying and stuff like that. That always happens. And we do the same, those that have the means to do it. So,
I mean, if we feel that we can, and I mean, there's an agenda, the summer meeting agenda is not, there's not that much on it yet.
But we only have interim chairs till
January. So what? What if we had chairs after and we still continue this debate?
It's no different.
Well, yeah. So then in January, you could have a draw election or something. That's what happens
after
January.
This isn't going to go.
Okay, Rob, yeah. Victor really spoke a lot of what I would want to say. What I came here to say, actually.
Groundbreaking meeting.
I usually agree with Victor. In listening to this discussion, I'm getting the feeling that, for me, the issue of the four categories is not as important as allowing into the Chinatown Working Group individuals who are not organizations. That, to me, from what I'm seeing and hearing, I think is the most important thing that we could ever do. About the attrition thing, I think that that's going to be dealt with in the leadership proposal. People come to meetings when they know that something important is happening and they can participate in it. And we've been working with this model of associations, and it's been a very, very sort of kind of corporate model with Jim talking for an hour and a half. At each meeting.
Don't.
And
please don't go there.
That was uncalled for.
Go on, Rob.
It isn't uncalled for because...
Just move on. Just move on.
All right, I'll skip it because... I don't know. We're sitting on it for 2 years.
That point was made and we're here today.
Okay.
To get beyond that.
Okay. Sorry.
Right.
If we had facilitators who did not talk at all. The facilitator being... No, wait. Picture,
I'm going to stick to this proposal, to the proportionate representation.
The attrition issue is not going to be resolved fully by this proportional. It will be resolved, I'm hoping, in the governance and the way the meeting is
you're the host, so you tell us.
I don't know what else we could possibly say. I mean,
I just have 5 minutes.
I have one question.
Yeah.
But at the end.
May had brought up whether or not we should have a membership committee, and I would propose that we don't have another committee. If we can somehow either use this committee to address some of the membership concerns that you were talking about, I would be for that. But I don't think we're going to get anywhere if we introduce another membership
committee.
No, I'm not
saying right now. I'm saying if that there's a new, you know, like we were talking about strengthening the steering standing committee. I'm talking about, let's say we have the strengthened steering committee that people are talking about, that somebody in there or is
that realistic, Phil?
See,
is
this
another committee?
I think that we could absorb that responsibility.
CWG-wide
effort, initiative to do membership. If we're going to be serious about membership, we got to really, that's got to really be kind of like permeate all the work we do. It's got to be like CWG, like public, you know, it has to really be not just one or two people doing it. It has to be like a real decision by the full group to say, this is, we're going to do this. We're really going to go out.
I'm just talking about a mechanism in place.
The greatest thing we can do,
the greatest thing
we can do to further membership at this time is to go back in December with a concrete proposal, as concrete as it can be, at the next meeting. I think that will then relieve the anticipation of many people who have very, very strong feelings about fears about this process, because they feel it's the end of the Chinatown Working Group to even propose things like this.
Well, I do think that there will probably be at least two proposals, because one, I think, will support using the old, basically as a template, and then there's this proportional piece. And I think it behooves this group to give the community a very clear decision to be made, and then because I think that the part of the attrition thing is people don't know what's happening, and I think we decide. And wherever it falls, it falls.
I'm utterly opposed to that idea. Because people take the old way and they say, well, I don't know what this is.
Well, it doesn't matter.
What we really need to do is give them an idea, whatever it is, give them an idea of something new, and let them tweak it, let them send it back to us, let them work on it. Not give them the opportunity to say, oh yeah, well, forget that fucking shit.
I agree with that.
That isn't up to you, though. And I.
No, I'm having my opinion,
yes,
right?
No.
So
you have a particular
You're stacking the argument.
You have a particular idea, and that's fine. And then there is another...
Yeah, that's your idea. I don't agree with it. I think
that's
it's stacking
fine.
The idea.
But I don't think it's up to you or I. It's
okay,
the community.
But
you don't have to tell it.
Why is
that?
No, but
okay.
I want
to say
that. Did that.
I resent that you would even say
that. The Chinatown full group should consider whether to continue having this discussion or whether they should kind of put up for vote two proposals. Is that the choice that we would have to make in December?
I think that we've heard this, and I think it's been great, and I think people have tweaked it, and I think it's getting closer. And I think that the group has a right to know what the proposal is. I think there is a counter proposal that is...
That's understood. So then what to do with those proposals? Is it a vote in December and then that's it for the issue?
I don't know, because I don't know how long we have the chairs for. And our current governing structure, we agreed to go till January, right? So beyond that, we have no agreement.
So I would say that coming out of this group, right, there should be as many proposals as are made, right?
Yep.
I think that what should be presented to the general body is, here are proposals, and solicit opinions about both. I don't think that we need to force...
But we have to resolve the status quo.
Well, we have to resolve at some point, right? But this is an introduction of a discussion amongst the general body that needs to be made.
That's what I have to say about that, Rob.
Yeah, this is... What's going on here is very
confusing. There's a difference between a beginning and an end of a discussion. I just want to know where we're at.
You have a current structure. You have a current structure. Until that is changed, it remains. Right? You don't have to go there and say, do you want to continue the structure? It already is continuing.
You didn't hear me.
So, what you're suggesting is to undermine the whole notion of reconsidering the structure. The whole idea that we're doing is we're bringing to them and saying, here you have a current structure. You asked us to review it. We have a proposal. You don't like it? What would you think would be better? That's the whole notion of a review. And we're asking them to review.
But why couldn't anybody
so,
say that?
And if they don't review it, if they don't do anything, the structure as it is continues. To present the current structure as this alternative is to stack the argument and say, this stuff is too confusing to us because we have to work on it. We would have to work on it. We already have this, we'll just keep it. It really is to me, it's like a parliamentary move to undermine the whole governance committee process.
Okay, I have
you go there, they have a current structure. It is not in jeopardy. The current structure is not in jeopardy.
You didn't
let
her
respond.
At that meeting on October 4th, and we don't have the minutes, so I can't quote chapter and verse, but John Leo proposed that he would like to see the governance structure altered, but only in that the steering committee was more precisely formalized. That is a new governance structure that some people may prefer.
We're not talking governance, though. We're not talking governance, so I don't think the two things should be confused today.
Well, in the old structure, the representation was outlined. So it is connected to this, because you're proposing an alternative, which is great.
An alternative to what?
To the current way that things, voting structure exists. But not everybody was challenging the voting structure. There were some people who were, and that's legitimate. So they did, and you are coming up with a proposal on that issue. But the old one had a voting structure.
It addresses representation.
But Kay, I would argue that the people in this room are more in agreement with what we've all discussed for the last 2 hours than the people who are in that room who could have come tonight to maintain the status quo. I think we have to recognize that.
I was asked not to bring up the topic tonight. The topic tonight was only on proportional representation. That was reiterated three times.
That's right.
This is what I'm addressing here. Yes.
Okay. So what Kay's bringing up was not allowed in the discussion.
That's right.
Okay, we are not ready for any, looks like we are not ready for any kind of proposal in December, but we are ready for a progress report.
Yeah,
okay,
I agree
so
with that.
We have, in this discussion I've seen, like, you know, there's a stuff on paper and some things. Yeah. Right, so it's good to have a progress report because we want to get some feedback from them about where we should go next, perhaps. Okay, so there's some stuff that's not exactly on this paper because some of the stuff is being withdrawn.
This has nothing to do with the future.
It's withdrawn, it's so now, we can maybe. I think what we can just do is a progress report. I think they'd like to hear. They want to hear and need to hear.
Whatever proposals are out there, I mean, we can present it to people.
Yeah, we just need a short progress.
Then. Given that there are some people who have worked very hard on what they consider to be the governance proposals that are considered separate from this proposal, and all of us thought that the governance committee would also be hearing that side of the issue, and they have not, then give me some guidance as to how there can be a discussion. Do we set another meeting that deals only with a structure, or do we wait till December and December's meeting is all on that? Give me guidance because there are three proposals on the table right now. One of which is a combined John Leo and the one that I wrote up. But there's one from Kay. And they deserve some conversation. And maybe it's not this group, maybe it's... I don't care how it's done, but I was told the governance committee was the place that was going to hear this. And that discussion has been frozen out.
Let's not characterize what happened.
There's a lot happened before you came in.
This is what we'll do, okay? In December, we'll tell them something like this. okay, we had this meeting. We probably will have another meeting.
We should have another one before December.
December. Right. We said we'd meet like every 2 weeks.
Right.
I know Thanksgiving is coming. But, okay, so today was supposed to be on representation, but
right.
it went into other topics, so it's all related, right? So that's okay. So in December, we'll just give them a progress on what we've discussed. If there are proposals that haven't been discussed yet for some reason or aspects of it, we'll just tell them that. And, you know, this is what it is. Go look at it online, and we're going to discuss it next. Just really give them a progress report.
But I can't give them a progress report if there isn't any progress. Can there be another meeting in November on that topic?
We're supposed to meet every 2 weeks. So we should have at least one more meeting before December.
Yes.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that we should have a little bit more progress than we had tonight. I think we can have a little bit more progress in the next meeting that we have. I think we should think about all these things, these issues. Personally, I would like to see, as part of the progress report, our desire to open it up to individuals.
That's going
to
be your proposal.
Let me just finish.
I'm
suggesting that this is the direction that I would like to see as the more progress, that we open it up to individuals, and that we haven't figured out how to do that, but that is our intent, and that is what we're hoping the CWG will look at and help us
that's
in
the
this direction. That's what I'm saying. Our progress report has to be defined a little bit better. We have to have better. We should talk about governance for sure at our next meeting, but we should also finish up this.
But can I just sum up what objectively was agreed upon in terms of the areas? Because to me, governance, democracy, whatever you want to call the overarching change we want to make. That was the overarching. We identified three areas: leadership structure, voting structure, representation, and participation and access. Those are the three areas. Some proposals only address one area. Some proposals address two or three areas. I think we should all be clear about that, just so we don't get confused.
I hope that's written down.
It's on the website.
The only thing I number two. This was recommended by Victor when he opened the meeting.
Yes.
That's why we're all following the initial suggestion before you walked in. There was no conspiracy to cut any of that out.
Okay.
We just couldn't get to it.
Well, we're moving forward to reporting only on this in December, and had I not brought it up, there wouldn't have been a discussion.
We agreed before at the last meeting that we would have another meeting before December,
as long as we get to the right conclusion, I'm very sorry if I misinterpreted, and I'm very, very glad that we're back on the track. Thank you.
I just want to say, though, that, Rob, your proposal that we are moving forward to the individual thing, that we are, I would just want to be careful that we don't say that when we're not the we.
Oh, no, that was, as I said, personally, personally.
Right.
So I had a short conversation with Margaret Chin today just about the process that we're going through seeing whether she kind of had any suggestions long story short, I think that she did have one suggestion I think may be useful, which is regardless of what we decide on the voting structure, that the CWG record who votes for what. So that in those kind of public decision things, not just the count of the votes, but who's voting for what.
I'm for that.
Because ultimately, it's a recommendation that they're going to use. They want to see which constituents have what opinion. So regardless of how we decide, that would be useful information for her.
Doesn't that happen obviously?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No. It's not recorded in minutes either.
Yeah. Right now,
sometimes we do, sometimes
we
don't.
She's going to know her constituents.
Excuse me?
Never mind.
Okay, so that was her suggestion.
Should we pick a date?
Right.
I want to make a request from me and Gigi.
But we benefit.
It's very democratic.
But we benefit.
Me and Gigi have a request. Okay, it's about
emails.
It's about emails and communications in between meetings. I mean, I think today was generally good. We kind of had a good discussion, and
tried to listen to each other most of the time, not all, but
thank you, May.
I think that, you know, I know you guys like to email each other, and there's a lot of emails going on. And Gigi, poor Gigi, has a BlackBerry, and she's like, you know, just coming in all the time. But so we're not so much concerned about the length or the sheer number of emails, although it would be good if there were less, but we are concerned about the tone of the communications. It's obviously, there's a lot of disagreement with each other, and if you want to email each other back and forth about your opinions, that's okay, but we really need to do it in a tone that's respectful of each other and that sort of keeps the dialogue moving, okay?
Again, so, I go back to the suggestion I made in the beginning, and, right, was that let's try to keep capture. So email has a certain characteristic. You know, there's, you know, you don't see a face, even though you know the person, you don't see a face. You know, it just becomes a certain kind of thing, right?
Well, the thing is, you're not talking about anything concrete. If you do like the Google Docs, you comment on the document,
yeah,
the proposals.
The document
you're commenting. You're building
on
something
rooted,
concrete.
It's rooted, you know, on, because, you know, I mean, I kind of, after reading a few of Doug's emails, I was lost, and I just had no idea what he was going for. So, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. But the whole point was is that, you know, the thing about a document, you know, again, this is, started off as my opinion, right? You know, and comment around it, I felt was very constructive. I mean, it's a very, you know, constructive piece without any thing in between, right?
But even though that's true, those that participate in that forum would use the email forum to say things better to people that don't need to be said.
Right, that's why I'm saying avoid the email. That's what I'm saying. Avoid
okay.
But bear in mind that Doug's document contains right in its front an aspersion on a particular group in Chinatown.
Right. What's an aspersion?
What was the aspersion?
It was, he said, in a process where one group is trying to take over the group and silence other groups. Right? And that was in the document.
So can we not do that? That's part of what we're talking about.
Data time for the next meeting.
So I actually wanted to ask you a question.
A 5-minute lesson on Google.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, not tonight.
But that's a great idea.
I think just the 5-minute precursor to how to use it, I think that would be helpful.
I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Also, where is Doug?
We can do a YouTube video too. That's good.
How about Monday night of Thanksgiving? Of Thanksgiving week.
That would be the 23rd.
22nd.
Oh no, we're you know what? We scheduled a economic development work team meeting.
So.
On the 22nd. At 6.
They have to be there, and that's important.
Can you split the chairs?
Counts is on it. 18. Right?
You can you split between them?
I'm a member of the economic.
Okay. No, but then we lose a few members here.
Oh, because he's an economic.
So what's the next date? Tuesday? Is that okay?
What's the last Monday in November?
29.
Yes.
29.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. You here again?
Yeah.
It's nice to come.
Tuesday.
Good lighting.
Monday, 11/29.
The 29th.
At 6 p.m.
Google presentation.
The 29th, Monday at 6. Did we say 6?
Yeah.
6
yeah.
Words. 6. 137 Henry.
Do you have a screen to project?
Yes.
Onto?
Yeah? Yep.
Oh.
I have it. It's in the back of this.
Okay.
So you guys can do Google or email, whatever you want. You know, we don't really care. You know, it's whatever people feel comfortable with, but we're just... It was just the tone of it that we were really wanted to express concern about. So, yeah.
Point doing it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Danny, for chairing.
Hello,
chair.
It's mostly about.